Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. It is good to see you all this morning. Thank you for taking time out of your Sabbath to come and spend this day with us. For those who are visiting, perhaps for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we welcome you and we thank you for choosing St. Andrew's to worship this morning. As a church family, we do celebrate together and we also mourn together. And so with the sad news of Gary's passing this morning, I'm sure that you are all sailing a silent prayer for Shona, and she would appreciate your love and your time over these next few days. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity once again to come before you. We just ask, Father God, that you will be seen and heard in this space, Lord. Lord, your word tells us to exchange our anxieties for your peace. And so we ask for that with supplication and thanksgiving this morning. We're thankful that you hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sabbath, I'll be talking about the Church of God and the message of Jesus. The Church of God and the message of Jesus. But for the remaining minutes that we have this morning, I'm going to be speaking under the title Salvation for the Leftovers. Salvation for the Leftovers this morning. At the height of the pandemic, as it was last year, there were a few interesting things going on. People started acting really strange. One of the strangest things that I'm sure you would have seen was that there were people flocking to a certain aisle in the supermarkets where a certain piece of household needs were stocked on the shelves. And I'm sure you would have seen it all over the news. Toilet paper just going, running out of those supermarkets. And then there was another thing that happened on top of that. And that was the fact that some people thought that they would capitalize on the lack of toilet paper that some people might be having. And they went onto a site called eBay. Has anyone ever heard of a site called eBay? It's where you go if you want good, cheap stuff, right? And on eBay, single rolls of toilet paper were being auctioned off. And I think the highest price that I saw for a single roll of toilet paper was $1,000. Crazy. It is absolutely crazy. You can actually find some good things on those sites, those online auction sites. And actually, the Bible. The Bible sets a scene for a certain auction. There's a certain auction that's happening on a certain day in one of the books of the Bible. And it's amazing. If you think about those times, what would have been on sale at those auctions, what you could have grabbed at a bargain price at those auctions. You think about livestock, working livestock. You think about tools that, you know, somebody might have passed away and no one else in the family is able to use them, would have been able to be auctioned off. There are also people being auctioned off. Slaves, you could pick up slaves at an auction. At this particular auction, however, the Bible paints the scene, the day is long and things are just going, money's coming in and products are going out. And perhaps imagine with me the last lot, or the last piece of property on that auction block. It's a lady. It's a lady that most men in the town know and have known. But she's getting on in age now. She's got 3 children as well. And the local pimps have set their eyes upon some younger ladies who might be able to replace the role that she had. And so there she is on the auction block. Used goods. come and get her at a bargain price. Who wants to make the first bid? No one. Come on, somebody make a bid on this lady. She's got three kids, which proves that she might still be able to bear you a child. Good for your descendants, good for your family name to continue. Someone come up and take her off our hands, really. No one. From the back of the crowd, a shaky voice yells out, "I'll take her." Who was that? "I'll take her. All I've got is 15 shekels of silver, a bit of barley. But I'll take her." Everyone turns around to see that it's the local pastor. The one who had been telling everybody about God, now putting a bid down to buy back this woman of the night. The amazing twist in that story is that that woman is actually his wife. And if you're unsure of the scene that I've been painting, it's a scene that's found in the book of Hosea. And it's the scene and the relationship that I want to highlight in our remaining minutes together. You see, God told Hosea to go and take himself a woman. A woman that was not going to be faithful to him. And yet still throughout this pain and throughout this relationship that he was in with this woman, he would provide a message trying to call God's people back to him. And so he takes this woman in faithfulness to God's word. And they have a child together, and that child's name is Jezreel. You know, all these old Hebrew names carry meanings as well. Jezreel. God's judgment is near. As time goes on, Hosea finds that his wife is starting to come home at some pretty weird hours of the morning. Not only that, she's coming home smelling different, wearing different things. In a few moments' time after that, she once again falls pregnant and bears another child, a child named Loruhamah, no mercy. Again, she bears another child, and that child is named Loami. And then she stops coming home at all. You see, God had intended that Hosea would reflect his relationship with his people. And at the time in history that Hosea has been called to prophesy and sort of live out this prophecy or God's intention for his people, they're experiencing some pretty good times. It's pretty good times for the people there. Might I even say very good times. Everyone's got a few donkeys. Everyone's storehouses are full. There's practically peace everywhere. And everyone has gotten to a point where God sees that they've actually forgotten about him. This is God's perspective of the time. Hosea 4 and verse 1 says, "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." That word knowledge is such a deep word, isn't it? When you think about how it's used in the Old Testament, it's not just used just to portray a head knowledge of things, information being passed in the head. No, it's actually a word that's also used to reflect an intimacy between two people. And what God is saying here in the book of Hosea chapter 4 is that the people have gotten to the point where they no longer know him intimately. God has just become another God in that land. Not only do they worship God, they also worship Baal. Not only do they pray to God, they also go and make shrines on mountains and under trees. That's what God is seeing amongst his people here who he has blessed. And you know, this morning, we got to be careful as well that we don't get bewildered by our blessings, that we don't become preoccupied with our positions, and that our abundance doesn't produce apathy, and our materialism doesn't produce moral failure. And so by day, Hosea was calling his people back to a proper relationship with God. And by night, he's going around the brothels looking for his wife, seeing if he could get a word in with his wife, Gomer. As is the message of prophets that God sent to the Old Testament, if you don't turn back to me, I'm going to allow my protection to be taken away from you, and you're going to be taken into a foreign land, and there you'll be exiles. There you'll be treated like you're nobody. This is what God intends, though. Hosea 2:14, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfort to her. There's something about the wilderness, actually, because it's in the wilderness in the Old Testament that the people saw God's mighty hand at work. It's in the wilderness in the Old Testament that the people came to realize that it was God who provided for each and everything that they needed. It was in the wilderness in the Old Testament that God dwelt with the people through the sanctuary. And there was this constant smoke that was going up from the sanctuary that told the people that God lived forever to intercede. Hey, Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus lives forever to intercede for us. So could it have been that as God was calling his people back and they refused to respond and they refused to repent, that God had no choice but to let his protection go and let the nations come and take his people. But through that all, God's intention was that the people would hear him. One of the dangers that we have is that there's so much noise going on in our lives that we can't actually hear God. And so this is what God says, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. Hey, God had every right. God had every right to just walk away from the relationship. We've been talking about the covenant in our Sabbath school lessons this quarter. And the covenant imagery that's found in the book of Hosea is found in the context of marriage. Marriage being a reflection of a covenant relationship. And God had every right to divorce a faithless woman. Someone who had been unfaithful to the covenant. But that's just not who God is. Let's get back to the book of Genesis, right there at the beginning. Let's meditate on that for a little bit. God said that Adam and Eve could eat of every fruit, of every tree in the garden. But there was one that they couldn't. Just one. And of course, the consequence for them partaking of that fruit was that they would die. 3 pages into the Bible, and we've messed up as humans, right? We've messed it up. And God had every right to just erase it and just start again. But that's not who he is. Instead, the Bible says that God came back and they heard God walking in the cool of the garden. God's love, always pursuing unfaithful people. Things that a love that we don't deserve, a love that we've never earned, and yet a love that is constantly and consistently reaching out to each and every one of us. Throughout that period of time, the people are just falling further and further away from God. And yet Hosea, who stands there as the one who reflects God, is told to go again. Hosea, go again. Love her again. God in his passion, God in his love. We used to have a saying as teenagers, and it's quite a prideful saying. You know, when we dated with somebody, and then we broke up with that somebody, and then we heard that somebody else had started dating with the person that we once dated, right? We heard that somebody else was now dating our ex-girlfriend or our ex-boyfriend. One of the things that we would say to really dig it into them and really hopefully make them feel like dirt, right, was we would whisper and you know, we'd say, hey, you've got my leftovers, haven't you? You've got my rejects, haven't you? And there on the auction block, Gomer, the unfaithful wife, leftovers, rejects, scraps. But I praise God this morning because the name Hosea means salvation. And so when I was on the auction block as leftovers, when I was on the auction block as nothing, as worthless, when I was on the auction block as scraps of the world, Hosea, salvation, was there making a bid on me. We're talking about covenant language, and this is what God says. Hosea 2 verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. This is just God being who he is. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Loruhama. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Hosea 14 and verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about mercy unchained. We talked about, and I challenged you with the image of God forgiving or accepting the repentance of the Ninevites. And this morning, I just want to challenge you with the fact that God accepts sinners regardless. That God's love is constantly coming after us. Question is, what do we do with it? In Luke chapter 15, there's a story of a young man. And this young brother calls out to his father and says, Father, give me the division of goods that falls to me. Give me what is mine in this family. What a disrespectful thing to say to a father in that time of the Bible. Give me what is mine. And the story goes on that a couple of days later, he decides to pack his bags and leave. Leave everything that he has in his father's house. Go out to a far country, and in that far country, he starts to spend big. He makes some friends that love the fact that he's got a lot of money, and they party. They party hard. You know, every time I read that story, I think that guy is a Seventh-day Adventist. We know how to muck up, right, when we can. And there he is. The time comes when his money runs out. The good times run out. There's a famine in the land. And he goes and he hires himself out to one of the people. And that person puts him to work feeding pigs. And in the Jewish mindset, think about the Jewish mindset that Jesus is telling this story to. Not only has this man left the father's house, he's in a foreign land, he's a slave, and he's feeding pigs. He's made all of the mistakes that somebody can make. Kick him out. He ain't any good. But while he's there in the deepest, darkest place of how far he has fallen from his father's house, he realizes how good the father is. And the Bible says that it's God's goodness that brings us to repentance, right? And so he decides that he's going to go back, and he's got this big speech prepared for his father. He says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth against you. Just please let me come back and just be a slave in your house. Back at home, however, the father's looking out. And there's one day that he sees a familiar shadow way, way out in the distance. As a father, now I know how my children walk, right? And so he would have seen out then, and he would have seen the way that this person was walking. He would have realized, hey, that's him. That's my boy. And instead of waiting and sitting on his throne and sitting on his high horse, no, the father runs out. Not only does he run out to this son who's coming back smelling like pig, all muddy, probably half the size that he was when he left home. He runs out and he hugs him, falls on his neck and kisses him. And so he starts his speech. Father, I have sinned. Bring out the best robe for my son. Put the ring on his finger. Kill that fattened calf that we have. Let's celebrate, for my son who was dead is alive. That's an awesome story. It tells us that God is for the broken. Jesus said, I come to seek and save that which was lost. God's intention is that the broken, the outcast, people who are in the mess that they've gotten themselves into, God's intention is that they would all come back. And everyone is celebrating. Everybody is celebrating. Here's a challenge for us. There's one person that is not celebrating in that property, and that's the older brother. He comes in and he hears the party going on. He hears the joy. He hears the laughter. And he asks, what's going on in there? Oh, your dad's having a party because your younger brother's come home. He even killed that big beast that we were fanning up out there. And the anger that comes up in that older brother. How long have I been here with you? You didn't even give me a goat. I've been here, I've been tending to all of your stuff, been in your house. And this man here, he goes out and, you know, wastes all of your possessions on the world. You take him back. Just like we have a danger of being like Jonah and thinking that we have a monopoly on God's mercy, we also run the danger of being like that older brother and thinking that people don't deserve God's grace. Oh, salvation is for everybody. Those who are left out, those who are left behind, and even those who are left over. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know whether you're experiencing something like Gomer, Hosea's wife, and you know, you love God. You love the fact that he's always providing for you. But there's other things that are just pulling you away. If that's you this morning, God is constantly calling you back into this love relationship with him. Or maybe you're like that younger brother. Maybe you're like the younger brother who's just walked away from God completely. It's his goodness that calls you back. Maybe we're like the older brother. Maybe we look sideways at people that say they love God, but we know that their lifestyle doesn't reflect that. That's a challenge for us as well. That God's mercy and God's grace is for everybody. Wherever you are this morning, it's my prayer that you will understand God's love for you. That you will understand that God is for you. That you will understand that God will give for you. And as 1 Peter says that, you know, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver. No. With the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Our final song talks about grace. Marvelous grace. And I invite our music team to come up and lead us in that. Thank you. We sing about this grace and we're grateful for it. We are so undeserving, and yet it is so much greater than any sin that we have committed. We just pray, Lord, that as a redeemed community, as a community that is walking in a new life in Jesus, that we will also see that your grace extends to everybody around us too. Help us to be that message of love that you want us to be in this world, and take us for the remainder of this day. We ask in Jesus' name.